Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Wolverine 24/7 podcast, your audio source for all things Michigan football, basketball, and recruiting. I'm your host, Zach Shaw. Steve Lorenz here with me talking linebackers in this episode. This is the eighth installment of our position preview series that we've been doing, and obviously we have the written stories over at the MichiganInsider.com, Michigan.247sports.com. But yeah, we've been going position group by position group, previewing the biggest strengths, question marks. If there's a position battle, we'll talk about that. X-factor players, stats that we're watching, and then make bold predictions for each room. Linebacker room, it's going to be a pretty experienced room, and probably deeper than in years past. You know, Junior Colson is back. Michael Barrett is back. They brought in Ernest Hausman, who was eighth among Power 5 defenders and tackles last season. You know, most of their backups, I should say, are back. Thinking about Jaden Hood. We'll talk about him, I'm sure. Jimmy Rolder, Micah Pollard, so on and so forth. And then they brought in, a four linebacker recruiting class. So a little bit deeper than usual. To me, the biggest strength of this room, though, is especially at the top, it's tackling. And I think sometimes that gets overlooked as an asset by fans. You know, people want to see the sacks. They want to see the interceptions, the pass breakups on defense. They want to see, you know, the havoc plays. And that certainly, I think Michigan's room could improve overall in that area. But this room makes a lot of tackles. Junior Colson, he had 101 tackles last season, but he also actually led all Big Ten linebackers or defenders, I should say, in tackle rate last season. He did not miss a lot of tackles. I think he missed 7, but when you have 101, you know, that's a pretty low percentage. I think Michael Barrett really impressed me throughout the season. He seemed to get better and better as a tackler. And then Ernest Hausman, I just mentioned, eighth among Power 5 freshmen in tackles last season. So this is a group that physicality is not a concern. Contact courage, not a concern. Open wrapping up in the open field, not really a concern. So I think they're going to get involved in a lot of plays. They have a good nose for the football, but you know, sometimes that can really unravel a team is, you know, missed tackles in the open field or linebackers missing tackles. I mean, suddenly those shorter plays can become big plays and they can become backbreaking plays or game ending plays. You know, this linebacker room, there's certainly, I think every linebacker on Michigan's team would say that they have things that they want to improve, but tackling, I think is a collective strength for this room. Steve, what's the biggest strength you see in this linebacker room?
There's a lot of experience at the top with Barrett and Colson, right? I mean, Michael Barrett is kind of in that under, like, is he rated? You know, we've talked about the underrated, overrated. I think Michael Barrett finally starting to kind of get his due as a really quality player at the linebacker position. Junior Colson, getting a lot of preseason accolades, has played a ton in his first 2 years, but I think Michigan believes he can do more and can have a bigger year than he had last year. I think there's a little bit of, like I said, a little bit of inconsistency there in certain areas. And so I think Michigan has big expectations for him. But, you know, your top two guys have played a ton of snaps and have played, what, in 2 playoff games now, 2 Big Ten championship games. They've won 2 Big Ten championships. So, you know, at the very top of the depth chart, you know, I think you like having guys who have been there. But not just been there. I mean, again, specifically with Colson, who I think can be really is a guy, if he plays at the level I think Michigan believes he's capable of, he could be all Big Ten and maybe even more, right? I mean, he's had some expectations since he's been here. But I think, again, I think Michigan has probably higher expectations for him than anybody does. So, you know, but I just like the experience at the top specifically, because there are definitely some question marks at the position as well.
Yeah, there are. And I will say, you know, linebacker was one position where I do all these in-depth position group previews that I write. And this was one position where I'm like, oh, there's definitely it's not a weak point, but there's definitely room for this group to improve. And I think one area that can be found is biggest question mark for me. Can this linebacker room be disruptive enough? You know, we can talk about Colson, Barrett, Houseman, 227 tackles in 37 combined games last year. That's really good. You know, to have back for another season, to have kind of guys who are fast, who are physical, who know what they're doing on the football field. You know, I think that's really significant. But combined, they only had 13 combined tackles for loss and sacks. They had only 2 forced turnovers and 4 pass breakups. That's a, you know, they call them havoc plays. That's a really low rate for 227 tackles to have just 19 such plays. I mean, there are some linebackers, granted, they're really good ones, but there are some linebackers who have that many havoc plays on their own. You know, I think Devin Bush was someone who was in that neighborhood on his own when he was at Michigan. So I think that's a big question mark for me. It's probably going to be my stat to watch too. But yeah, can this group be disruptive enough? You know, I think it's one thing to make a lot of tackles in that second level, to make those open field tackles. It's another thing to be bursting through the line of scrimmage and making, you know, bringing down the quarterback or stuffing the running back at the line or in coverage. You know, you're getting your hand on the ball. You're not just holding them to a 5-yard gain. You're taking out the entire route. So I do think that's probably the next step for me. I do think coverage, I think Michael Barrett was really good in coverage, which makes sense. He's a former safety / Viper. But, you know, Junior Colson, Ernest Houseman, they allowed 50 receptions on 58 targets last season for 478 yards. And they had one combined pass breakup, one pass breakup to 50 receptions allowed. Room to improve. And I think you would agree with me. I think talent-wise, you know, it's not like this is just something that they can't be good at. No, talent-wise, they can and arguably should be a lot better than they were last season in coverage and then overall disruption. So that, to me, is the biggest question mark. Steve, what's your biggest question mark for this room?
Kind of goes back, I think, consistency, just in general, and not just from a pass coverage standpoint. I just think, you know, I hate to use, like, I'm not picking on Colson. He still had a good year, but just play reading ability, diagnosing, just there was a lot of inconsistencies at the linebacker spot last season, right? I think that's something, again, there is upside there for sure. But Chris Partridge definitely walking into a spot where there's some challenge for sure. So, you know, I just think it's strictly consistency on a play-by-play basis with them, particularly, again, talk about the experience at the top, but also, you know, there are a lot of opportunities for them to make more plays and have missed on some plays that maybe they should have made throughout the season last year, despite, you know, still having one of the best defenses in the country.
I think that this is probably the room it's not the worst room on the team. I did my position group power rankings. They were not at the bottom. I think just the experience of Colson and Barrett alone, as well as actually the experience of Houseman. I mean, I know his sophomore season will look different than his freshman season, but like he was a starter for a Big Ten team last year as a true freshman. So, you know, I think the floor is fairly high, but I think there is a ceiling that they can still get to if they can be more disruptive, as you said, more consistent, and yeah, just elevate their games. I think there's a lot of talent in this room, but I do think that there is another level that they can reach. We're going to hit a quick break and start looking at how they can get to that other level. We'll talk about X-Factor players to watch, stat to watch, and then make our bold predictions for the room. You're listening to the Wolverine 24/7 podcast.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. We expected someone else. So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catches. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Thanks for waiting. Talking linebackers in the linebacker position group preview episode. Steve, who's an X factor player for you to watch and for, I guess, the rest of us to watch in maybe the first few weeks of the season that could play a surprise role this fall?
I mean, it's got to be Jaden Hood, right?
That was a gimme, right?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't, and I know I went first, so I'm sorry. But I think I'd posted on the board last week that his emergence was more than just a couple sound bites in a press conference. You know, I mean, wasn't he one of the players made available this week? Right. I mean, if that doesn't tell you that Michigan,
you're subscribing to availability theory.
I think I always have, haven't I? I don't think I've ever denied availability. I think that's
okay. No, I don't think you were ever a hater of it, but
no.
I've been saying this since I first started the job. You know,
you're spot. Yeah, you're spot on. Like I would never disagree with that. I mean, there's a reason they put, you know, some guys out and then others don't. You know, but particularly, yeah, it does. It really, I think, even more than just strictly availability. I think availability theory plays into how legit like a sleeper candidate or an emerging candidate might be, right? Yes. Like Hood, yep. Because he's a guy that's not had any experience with the media thus far in his career. And so the fact they put him out there means, you know, they're giving it, they want him to get some experience, you know, I totally agree with availability theory. Either way, Michigan likes Hood's athleticism at that spot. And I can't say enough props to Jaden Hood too, by the way, for, you know, I think he was a guy that many had chalked up as a potential transfer candidate because he wasn't playing a ton. You know, Michigan brought in Ernest Hausman, who I'm sure we'll still discuss here. You know, it just kind of felt like you weren't, Jimmy Rolder played more snaps than he did than Hood did last year. You know, it just kind of felt like he was getting lost in the shuffle a little bit. So props to him for sticking it through and really looking like he's making a big opportunity for himself this season. But I mean, he's definitely the guy I'll be looking at. I love seeing guys like him emerge it's not that late in his career, but it's not early either. He's kind
it
of
is
like,
crazy I, though. The transfer portal accelerates that clock.
It does.
Yeah. He's a third year guy.
Yeah. So right. Yeah. It does feel like he's been there longer. But either way, you know, just nice to see guys like that. I don't know. I mean, well, let's just be honest, work their way back up or up the depth chart because, again, Rolder played more snaps than he did last year. Right now, I think at linebacker, if I was guessing, it's Colson, Barrett, Hausman, Hood, then Rolder probably, you know, is your 1-5. So, and Hood was not number 4 last season.
Last season, he was 7th. In the linebacker snaps. Room in snaps.
Right. Yeah. So there you go. I mean, if that doesn't tell you, A, maybe, and again, could be the coaching change. My philosophy, my belief is always it's always a combination of things. So I'm assuming a combination of maybe vibing better with your position coach and some urgency, you know, type deal and just some plain old hard work. So he'll be the one I'm watching because, like, I assume Michigan's, they want, you know, we talk about there are question marks in this room. I do think depth is possibly one of them. So if he can become a reliable guy for them, that would be huge for Michigan, like really, really big because they need a 4th and 5th guy that they can rely on at linebacker. It's along with corner. I felt like it's that position that it is only an injury away from being potential danger zone. Right. So if a guy like Jaden Hood can come in and pass guys who have taken a lot more snaps than he has, you know, I think that's nothing but good news for the room as a whole.
Yeah, he's probably, I'm trying to think if there's anyone else who has risen up the depth chart at their respective position more than Jaden Hood has this fall camp. And he started to in the spring. I mean, he did have seven tackles in the spring game. I think that was first on his team, trailed only Ernest Hausman, I believe, overall. So, you know, it's not a, you know, he started it in the winter and the spring, but I think, you know, at some point I'll probably do a story of the biggest fall camp risers. He's probably topping that list. Cause yeah, he went from kind of a name I throw in there in the mixed section of my depth chart to, as you mentioned, potentially the number four linebacker to start the season. So props to him. I will say also props to Chris Partridge, because I think my understanding is that he, you know, when you get a new assistant coach, obviously there's always like sorts of like different blind spots or whatever, but you know, to hear that Jaden Hood put in this work and put himself in position to not just play, but, you know, playing meaningful snaps, that tells me that Chris Partridge was really open-minded and really connected. I don't know, got his motive, kept him motivated, kept him engaged, and put him, at least in part, and Jaden had to do the work, but, you know, put him in position where, you know, he felt like his hard work could pay off. And I think it only benefits Michigan, right? You know, there's not to have another guy step up, to have more depth around them, because I think depth was a huge weak point at linebacker last season. And it started to show later on in the year. I felt like it really showed in the last half of the season, I suppose. And I think this year more depth is more depth. I'm sure they would love, you know, and for their entire room to be fall camp risers, but it does feel like Michigan feels better about the depth at linebacker this year. Stat to watch, I'm not going to add a ton to it, but I think the havoc rate is one. Last year, Barrett, Colson, and Hausman had a combined havoc rate. So havoc plays are tackles for loss, forced turnovers, pass breakups. Their havoc rate was 8.37%. So 8.37% of their overall plays. By comparison, Ohio State's top trio was 14.8%. Penn State's top three was at 23.5%, which is really high. Part of why they're getting a lot of preseason love, that linebacker room. Georgia, probably the most comparable defense to Michigan in terms of a really good, stout defensive line. They have the edge. They have cornerbacks and safety. So the linebackers don't have quite as much pressure to create havoc. But even Georgia was at 17.9%. So, yeah, you look around at other top 10 linebacker rooms, that's the next step for Michigan, is getting from 8.37% to, I think 12% is maybe a good benchmark. If we're actually tracking the stat throughout the season, you know, midway through the season, that might be something that I look at and say, okay, is this linebacker room performing the way that it could be? That's probably that next step. Steve, bold prediction for this room. I'm actually going to go first because I feel decently good about this one. I'm sure all of mine will come true, but this one I put some research in. I said Junior Colson sets the Harbaugh era single season tackle record and flirts with Michigan's 21st century single season tackle records. So reason it's 21st century and Harbaugh era, there used to be a time in the 70s and 80s where, you know, there'd be players who get 140 tackles in a game. And in 10 seasons from 75 to 84, Michigan had 10 players exceed 125 tackles in a season. Since then, Sam Sword in 1998 was the only player to reach that benchmark. But 21st century, Jonas Mouton is the single season tackle leader with 117. So that's the 21st century record. The Harbaugh era record is Ben Gideon with 107 in 2016. Colson, when he came in as a true freshman, 61 tackles, most by a true freshman by a mile, by two dozen in a decade. And then year two, he has 101 tackles. You know, I know we can talk about the havoc rate, but there is a strength in being a linebacker who can get triple digit tackles when you're a sophomore, you know, and an underclassman and already having 160 plus tackles. I think he gets the triple digits again this year. I think that he passes Ben Gideon's 107, and I think he's somewhere in that 107 to 120 range, which would flirt with that 21st century records. So I'm expecting him. I mean, you know, overall, I think he is going to just continue to build. I think there is the potential for him to become a top 100 NFL draft pick, maybe even top 50 NFL draft pick if he can get, clean up his coverage, get some havoc plays. But at the same time, he doesn't miss tackles. He's fast. He knows how to get to the ball, and he's only getting smarter and stronger as a football player. So I expect him to have a good season. I don't know where he'll rank in the All Big Ten or All American, stuff like that. But I do think he's in for another triple digit tackle season. I think he'll be a fan favorite. I think he's a very fun, likable player who has done nothing but produce in the tackle department since he got to Michigan. Steve, you got a bold prediction for this linebacker room?
I mean, I got to stick with Colson. I think Colson enters. My belief is, I think Michigan feels like a lot of the issues that Colson had last year are very fixable. So I'm buying on Junior Colson this season. Again, he's been productive. I don't think that's the issue. I think maybe more than, I just say it this way, I guess maybe more than almost any other player on Michigan's roster, I believe Michigan thinks like that he's a guy that can still be so much better than what he's already shown. And like I said, I think they think a lot of the stuff is pretty fixable for him. So I think he enters All-American conversation by the end of the year. If he has the production that you mentioned, and to be fair, he does have the benefit of some nice preseason accolades too. That always helps with your eventual postseason stuff.
Yeah, because these voters are not watching every game, but they are watching a lot of Michigan games.
Right. And he's still
pretty good. Helps too. Yeah.
Don't want to sound too harsh on how he's play again. I think it's just an expectations thing where I think they think he is a first team All-American caliber player when he's playing at the level they think he can. Is he end up first team? I don't know about that. That's impossible to predict at a position like linebacker. I just think he's in the conversation, which I think is, and I think he's legit. I think he's in the conversation from a statistical and just perspective standpoint. But I also think when we sit down throughout the season and discuss his play, that I think that he's playing at that type of level by the end of the year. So, and again, it's a position where Michigan could really, that'd be massive for Michigan to get elite play out of any of their linebackers. Cause it's another spot where if you have an elite guy, it can really help the other guys around him. So yeah, we didn't mention Ernest Hausman at all. Like, should we just touch on him real quick just to kind of,
he is
the third linebacker, right?
We didn't play a role in 24/7's transfer portal rankings, but he was the number one transfer in the Big Ten, top five overall transfer. And I think there's a little bit of an eye on his long-term potential. Yes. Just because he's going to be at Michigan for 2 years with that at least. So I think that was a played a role just because he was a rising sophomore. But yeah, tackling machine. I know Nebraska wasn't particularly good, but I mean, he hits hard and feels like he has all the athletic tools to have a Colson-like season when he eventually gets a starting.
It's been a big point of contention on our just lovely, amazing message board. I had written an insider deal, a month or two ago, saying that, the expectations needed to be tempered a little bit here. And I think it was sort of misconstrued a little bit. My angle on it was that, he was the fourth overall ranked transfer in the country. Of all the, we've talked a lot about Michigan's transfer situation and the guys they brought in and guys who were going to make an impact right away. And he's ranked well. I think Ladarius Henderson's 18th is the closest. And Michigan does not have another guy in the top 50. And we've talked about guys like Drake Nugent, James Turner, Josiah Stewart, AJ Barner, like guys that we expect to make, Miles Hinton, like guys that could make a pretty big impact this year. My thing was much more about, I do think Ernest Hausman makes an impact this year for sure. But I think when you see fourth overall transfer in the country, I think people are expecting all conference play from the get-go. And my thought is I think Michigan believes that Ernest Hausman's going to be a really, really good linebacker. And it won't all come together this season right away. Right. So I that was sort of what I was going with it. It was not, they're super high on him. Right. And you could argue he was one of Nebraska's best defenders last year. I know, like you said, they weren't very good, but their defense was actually decent. I mean, it wasn't bad defense. So, they really got a nice, he was a huge addition for them because that was a room that maybe needed a big transfer more than any other room in the program. But a guy that, yeah, again, he'll play a lot this year. He's probably starting or playing close to starter snaps maybe, but I'm not anticipating him to walk in. Like, you're looking at some of the other top transfers on this list. Like, he's ranked above Sam Hartman at Notre Dame. He's, you know, Travis Hunter's number one. Adonai Mitchell is, like, I believe a preseason, at least all-conference, if not all-American type receiver for Texas. You know, he's ranked above just probably like six or seven guys that are going to start at quarterback this year for Power Five programs. So it wasn't so much trying to downplay the addition as it was just kind of letting people maybe temper the expectations a little bit, at least as far as like the immediate impact of the addition. Maybe a guy by October or November is making a huge impact, but just, you know, we'll see though. Again, could easily turn out that he walks in and is a stud, but just something to kind of keep in mind.
And it's not like Michigan doesn't have two returning starters at linebacker, you know, so that's the part too, is like, you know, the vibe I've gotten that he's not going to unseat Michael Barrett in fall camp. You know, it's not, we didn't really talk about position battle, but you know, that was one maybe before fall camp that we were watching, but this is Michael Barrett's job. It's at the will spot. Junior Colson's going to hold down the mic spot, but Ernest Hausman will rotate in. And as you mentioned, you know, if he performs well in games, if he continues to grow, you know, I think he's someone that he probably could play an impact role on Michigan if they needed him to right now. And he might just force his way into the conversation by the end of the season. So anyway, that's going to do it for this episode. Be sure to check out other episodes wherever you got this podcast. And be sure to check out all of our written stories over at the MichiganInsider.com, Michigan.247sports.com. Lots of fall camp season preview content right now. So be sure to check it all out. For Steve Lorenz, I'm Zach Shaw. This has been the Wolverine 24/7 podcast. We'll see you next time.
Let's go!
It's the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount+. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.